Oh, Kelly, aren't you good hour? Hi, I'm Janelle, and I am an alcoholic. And first of all, Christy, thank you. Thank you for having me come out here to speak to you today. Christy said she heard me speak when she was like 2 weeks into this deal. And I said, well, you were detoxing. So let's see how you like me now. Also, congratulations to the chip takers. That's terrific. That's wonderful. And congratulations to the birthday people. It's good to see you, Andrew. I remember him from years ago at the Canyon Club. And it's humbling, really. It's humbling seeing so many new people. It's great. It's great. And I got to be honest, when I was new, when someone had 30 days, it was like I couldn't stop drinking for 30 seconds. So it seemed impossible. And getting a year seemed, well, 30 days seemed like it took 30 years to get. And a year, whatever. So somebody who has the amount of time that I have now, I neither believe them nor wanted to hear them. So welcome. My sobriety date is March 27, 1988. And so this week, but we do this deal one day at a time. So as of today, I've been sober 13,147 days. You can have that too if you don't drink and you don't die. I gotta say, the thing I love the most about Alcoholics Anonymous is that there are no absolutes. To me, the only absolute is vodka. And the thing is I've got 35 years, and I was listening to people tonight, and God bless you. You were so positive and so grateful. And I was like, and now I gotta get up there and like tell the truth, at least my truth, And I got sober at the old Canyon Club. The new Canyon Club looks like a Club Med. It's very gorgeous and very chic-chic and fabulous. The old Canyon Club looked like an old, dirty, dingy bar in the East Village in New York. And I'm from New York, born and raised in Harlem. Yes, that's why when somebody said Brooklyn, I went, yay! Although when we're in the city, we never really dealt with people from Brooklyn. But hey, we're in California, so hey! That's what happens out here. It's like, oh, you're from New York? Yes, Albany. Yay, right It's true. Anyway, born and raised in Harlem, whatever. It's like the thing is that yes, my family drank, they were whatever, blah, 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 quack, quack, quack. Maybe I got alcoholism from them. I don't, at the end of the day, I don't care. I really don't care. I know that I love to drink. I drank like a pig. And believe me, if it was still working today, I'd still be doing it. I'm not gonna lie. People, they said, my worst day sober is better than my best day drunk. And I was like, hey, you never hung with me. I'm only here to share my experience, strength, and hope. And I'm not doing an infomercial for Alcoholics Anonymous. The thing is, there's a seat for everybody, like our tradition says, a desire to stop drinking. So nobody's turned away. Nobody's told they can't be here. And everybody doesn't have to agree with everybody here. That's why I like the traditions. I love the traditions because we keep all of that other bullshit outside the door. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Bottom line, boom, beam, bang. Anything else? You know, it's like people say, I get up in the morning, I hit my knees. Okay, that's good. I'm happy. Hit your knees. If I can get down on my knees, maybe I'll hit them. However, I love my 11th step and I do it how I do it. You know, and for me, the program, you know, I drank like a pig. I raised in New York City. Yes, I am an actor. I'm in New York, on Broadway, won awards, it's fabulous, blah, 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 quack, quack, it was great. But most of all, drinking was fabulous. We were creative, we were fabulous, we were wonderful, you know, and we're drinking. Everything is wonderful. Let's have another martini. But, and then I moved to California. And I was, and it was different because in California, there was this white powder that came. And the thing with the white powder was, I'm an alcoholic. I mean, I am an alcoholic, but that white powder thing up your nose helped me to drink more. You know, helped me to drink more. And so when I came out to California and I came out and started doing a lot of film and television and yada, yada, yada. But I also met my first husband, and he was British, which I should be in a 12-step program for marrying British people. But anyway, but so we moved to Laguna Beach. And so I love it because in Laguna Beach, it was like I moved to Laguna in 1979. And they did like the census about how many people lived in Laguna Beach and how many black people lived in Laguna Beach. And they had like 90 black people. I never saw one, but, but I was convinced. So people, I'm sorry, I got to move. I was convinced that they were clocking my house, watching my house and seeing me with several wig changes. And so I went, oh, this one. So, but the thing about Laguna Beach is that people would be coming from LA or whatever to come to visit because it was Laguna's fabulous, it's party central at the house, yada, yada, yada. But the thing with the party was that the party started going from the weekend to the week to the, it just became more, I was getting more and more alcoholic. You know, it was drinking, was, it wasn't just a weekend or a whatever. It was just, but I still didn't think I had a problem. I didn't think I had a problem. And that's the beauty about our disease. It's a disease that tells you you don't have one. So as far as I was able to still do my work, still show up, never had a 502, never had gone to jail. However, Skid Row was between my ears, I didn't know that, you know? In fact, I didn't know how obsessed I was with drinking until I stopped. I didn't know, I mean, I absolutely didn't know that. And I remember, and I got sober at the O'Kane Club, and I remember I got 30 days, which seemed interminable. My halfway, whatever, is off to everybody who took 30 days, 60 days. You know? It was, but I remember getting 30 days, and I was like, ooh, I got 30 days, I want to celebrate. I'm gonna get a drink. I mean, it was like, boom, boom. I didn't do it. But that was the beginning of me realizing the obsession thing.
mean, I was upset. I, driving up to Los Angeles, I never knew there were so many billboards for booze when I was, when I got sober. It was like, when, it was like they put them up there. It's like, she's getting sober. Let's put up all these billboards. That's about beer. And I never drank beer, but it was beer with like sweat coming down. And I'm like driving. I could have gotten into an accident, car accident, because I was so busy looking at the sweat on the glass. And, oh, yeah, I got to change the light. You know, it was just, it was crazy. But, towards the end, I was doing a TV series, and the producer and creator of the show, she was in AA, and she was coming up on a birthday, and so I didn't know about AA or birthdays or whatever. I just thought she was having a birthday, so I got her this big thing, an arrangement of wine. And it sent it to her office, and she's like, and she says, it's not that kind of birthday. And I didn't know what it meant, and I wasn't paying attention. Then, what happened to the show? I would get a thing, Tim, you'll like that. I called it because back in the day, telephones had cords. And you dialed them. Maybe you pressed a button, but they had cords. And I would get a thing called, I called it black cord fever. Because I would drink a whole bunch of stuff and then have some of that stuff up my nose, and then all of a sudden I have to call people. I had to call them on the phone and tell them what I thought about them, about life, about so forth and so on. Total blackout. So this producer person, I called her at 2 o'clock in the morning. I had to be on set at like, I forget, 6. 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm calling her, telling her why she has to change the script. I have ideas, and I'm going to share them with her. And she, and you know, I got to work, and she's like, you know, you called me with ideas. And I was like, oh, okay. Whatever. And she's like, Meanwhile, down in Laguna Beach, because I was living in Laguna Beach, there was a woman named Muriel Singh. She's a big meeting in the sky now. And I would go and exercise with Zahava. She was an Israeli martial arts woman. She would beat us in submission. And so Muriel, I would come into on a Saturday morning, having, you know, drank or whatever, drank. And I'd come over and she'd say, how are you, dear? I went, oh God, I, you know, drank or whatever, and I had a little hangover. And she looked at me and she said, well, I'm saving the seat for you, dear. And I didn't like the sound of it, didn't know what it meant. I was going to walk, run over to the other side of the room and work out. Anyway, what happened was, and I'm so grateful I got sober before the cops stopped you a lot. that's all I have to say. Because, yes, you know, I did things like, you know, it's Ralph's now, Laguna, but then it was Albertson's. And it was summertime, and I would always, like, get in a blackout and drive down to the market and buy things like milk. You know, it was like somewhere in the back of my mind, I want to be healthy. So I wake up and come to in my house. Meanwhile, the British man, I don't know where he was, see someone. Anyway, and I'd had milk and cookies and things like that. You know, where'd they come from? I would be in a blackout and go down to the market, except for the one time it was summertime and it was very warm, and I was in a blackout and down at the market, and I came to pass out the frozen food because it's cool. And luckily for me, the
guy who was working at Albertsons, he was one of us. So he just lifted me out of the frozen foods and then put me in my car and then whatever. Anyway, so to get to being sober, what happened was I was involved with the AIDS quilt. The AIDS quilt came to, first time the AIDS quilt came out to Southern California, and we had an evening at the Amundsen Theater, and some of us performed there for the AIDS quilt. And I didn't think they treated me well. I was upset. The hubris here. So that Sunday morning, I was drinking at all of those people, all of the people who put the event together. You know, I was drinking at them. And then I couldn't find my cat. And so I'm running around Laguna, that lived on the Bluebird, in the Taddy Bathrobe, looking for my cat. My dog was in the house, so looking for my cat. And then I remember coming to, and in the living room, and my dog was looking down at me, and so was the cat. And they were disgusted. When the animals look at you in disgust, that's pretty bad. The husband, then that husband, I don't know, he was somewhere. Anyway, but I remember coming to that morning and the phone rang, it was that producer. And she said to me, she said, How are you? You're on my mind. And out of my mouth came, I'm an alcoholic, I need to go to AA. And so she was like, well, you want to come up here and meet me in Brentwood or whatever? And I was like, no. Anyway, that was a Monday. I didn't drink. Tuesday, I didn't drink. And Wednesday, there's a friend of mine who went to AA. He only knew meetings on one day, Wednesday, at the Candy Club. Yes, they have one meeting, and it's Wednesday at the Candy Club. So come and get me, come meet me, and we'll go there. So I came to his house, and he was passed out in the driveway, drunk, and I kicked him. I did. Got in my car and went to the Candy Club, the old Candy Club, and that began that journey. And that night, I went to Gucci, and there was Muriel, and I walked up to her, and I said, You say that's it for me? And she said, yeah. And I sat beside her, and I began my journey in Alcoholics Anonymous. And the thing is, I've got to be honest with you guys, the first year of my sobriety, or maybe into the second year, I was doing those things people suggested to prove them wrong. I really was. You know, so it was like back then you could like smoke in meetings and I didn't like to hug people. In fact, I still don't. COVID was a blessing. And so so that people would hug me and bother me, I would go and like sweep the floor or clean the coffee pot, or clean the ashtray, not to be a good AA, but so that people wouldn't bother me. But what I was doing, which I didn't know I was doing, which has been a big part of my journey, is doing contrary action to what I'm thinking. Because at the end of the day for me, it doesn't matter what I say, it doesn't matter how I feel, and it sure as hell doesn't matter what I think. It's just actions that they're taking. Sometimes, you know, it's like, the right actions lead to the right thinking. And sometimes that has taken decades. I mean, my hat's off to everybody who's like, they come here, they've gotten it, you
skipping down the Putnam Road and then tra-la-la and all of that stuff. Well, boy, that's not been my reality here. And I'm not saying, and the thing is, I remember people with some time standing movement sharing, and they've been talking about their truth about some shit that they're going through. And I remember I'd be sitting there, you know. Well, they're obviously not working a good broker. I hope I have the amount of time that my life is like that. Well, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, because the thing is that life does happen. Life is in session. And for me, I've, you know, been a part of, I can say, the No Matter What Club. Like I said, you know, the first husband, then the second husband that I married, he was a blonde, blue-eyed surfer. I don't even swim. And he was a surfer who was a practicing alcoholic and drug addict, and I'm 10 years sober. And I'm like, I can handle this. I can handle this. I didn't drink, thank God, and I didn't use, thank God. However, I still have the disease, and we were two sick puppies together. You know, I mean, and I have an anger thing, and I didn't even know how much that was going on. You know, more is revealed. And in 13 years of sobriety, I punched a woman out in a meeting of AA because she irritated me. She did. But what happened was I had to make an amends to the church where the meeting was held. I had to make an amends to the meeting, and then I had to make an amends to her. And I didn't want to. That's another thing. Doing the action doesn't necessarily all of a sudden, you know, and I think for some people it's like, oh, and then came the dawn and it was wonderful. No, it wasn't like that. But I was doing the action. You know, bring the body and the mind will follow. And for me, it's like having the awareness, acceptance, and the action. And then as I say, acceptance is doesn't necessarily mean approval. And so my last marriage, he was British, and I was 15 years sober. And I saw him across the room and he was new. So I was like, I've got to wait. He got a year, 15 months, and then I pounced. And I was a cougar, too. Oh, yeah. Anyway. And so we were together for 17 years, and we got married, and on November 30th, 2020, he was heading out to work, and that afternoon, I got a call from the sheriff's department saying he was killed in an auto accident. Just like that. And that's another thing that comes in when we do this one day at a time, because tomorrow is not promised. And then the next 2021, I brought my mom out from New York to stay with me. She's 94, God bless her. And she went into hospice care in my home and she passed away. So between November and August, two significant and moving and important people in my life were gone. We're gone. So to me, and that's, you know, in my AA community stepped up, of course, leaving me food. And good. Didn't look like food is not my drug of choice. But they didn't care. They just brought me food. And then my workout community, because I love Orange Theory and Mission Viejo. Woo! Yeah, my workout community, they showed up. There were people showing up for me, and it surprised me. It surprised me. And then Kelly, He didn't show up.
Thanks for the shout out.
But he and Mary started a meeting that I love, which got me back into AA, because for a while it was just going to one meeting. Because I get irritated with AA. Sometimes I hate AA. Sometimes I get irritated with people in AA. All of that stuff. But it's me. I know it's me, but it doesn't matter. So because for a while it's you. It's you. It's all of you. It's whatever. Are you wearing those shoes? You know, and it's like, but as far, you know, but the thing is that there's more to learn for me. You know, growth opportunities are happening all the time, and I don't call them problems. I call them growth opportunities, and some growth opportunities are more opportunistic than others, you know? I wouldn't love to say, oh, I got sober and everything was great and lollipops and all sorts of things. Yes, it can be that. However, it can be a whole bunch of things. It's called life. Life is a four-letter word. And I believe also in slow variety. You know, because at 18 years of sobriety, I got totally into general service, becoming a GSR, a DCM, a tradition chair, just totally immersed in general service. Why? Because I wanted to be able to tell people how they should share in meetings. That's why I was going. I was like, I've got to read these things and learn it, and you all know. Get your ass, you know? That wasn't the case. That wasn't the case. And then at 20 years of sobriety, I realized that my sobriety is only for me. Because I was back in New York. I turned 20 and it was like, nobody cares. You know, it was sort of like, nobody cares. I mean, I remember when I was newly sober, my mom came out from New York and I took her to the old Canyon Club, to an open meeting. And I'm sitting there and whatever, and we leave. And I said, What'd you think? And she said, well, honey, I think it's very nice that I'm happy for you, but never bring me here again. You know? So, and then 30 years of sobriety, that was when I wanted to step away. I wanted to step away from this vehicle. I mean, I really did. And I was building a case, all of that stuff. But what happened was I got involved in my acceptance meeting, and I became the coffee person. I got there to be able to set up the meeting and to make the coffee. And there was a woman there who, she said to me, she said, you know, why are you doing this commitment? This is commitment that you give to people who are new in the program. And I was like, well, we give those commitments to people who are new in the program so that they'll keep coming back. Well, maybe sometimes people with time need to have something to keep coming back for too. Shut up. I wasn't hating people anymore. But, and so that was the beginning of that journey of just showing up, of setting up the chairs, and of doing all of those kinds of things, and to be just a part of the group. I mean, I'm not saying that, yeah, I'm glad I've been sober a long time, but what I get from it is I don't know. It's very freeing to say, I don't know. I know what works for me, but I don't know if that'll work. The only thing I can say I've done perfectly is that I didn't drink today. That's it. And there are five things that I do. But the only thing I can say that I haven't done, you know, that I can say I've done is I have not had a drink or a mind-altering chemical today. Really? We don't have to do a dance now. 10 minutes? That's a long time. You know, and so for me, my message, I don't know if that makes sense. So, God.
My message.
No.
My message.
No. All I gotta say is that stay. And also respect your journey, whatever that looks like for you, but also respect another person's journey. Because what their journey is none of my business. It really isn't. You know, I mean, yes, I love the 11th step. I do the 11th step every morning. And I do the 11th step all the time. However, it changed, you know, the way I do it may be different than the way someone else does it. And that, you know, the thing is, when somebody says, well, if you can't find your God, use mine. No. No. Because it does say, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. So do this thing in order and find what's right for you. You know? I mean, my first sponsor, Uriel, when I got to the ship 30 years, my sponsor now, who I adore, she has 50 years. But I can't stay sober on my sponsor's sobriety. I got to get my own. Because my very, very, very first sponsor drank. I turned a year and Alice drank. Could never get back. And I needed to see that. I needed to see that a sponsor is just another alcoholic like me. You know? And somebody said, oh, it's a cult. No, it's a room full of cult leaders. So where are you from? Is anyone a Virgo? Oh. Okay, yeah, we can do that. What's your sign for 5 minutes? You know what?